So hopefully everybody had a really good Christmas. How were you determined that to be? Hopefully a time of rejoicing with family, maybe overeating, and definitely coming to God's house and hearing about the birth of Christ. When I was a child, it was hard for me to sleep the night before Christmas. We know why, right? All the gifts. My parents never bought a lot for us throughout the year, but Christmas was a time where I think maybe you were somewhat spoiled. And so it was hard sleeping the night before Christmas because we knew what we were getting, what? The next day. The toys, the fun things, probably only played with once or twice before they broke or we got lost. But either way, it was a great day, hard time to sleep. So when I was a child, I looked forward to toys and fun things like that. If there's one thing, you know, if you're a child, you don't want to receive at Christmas is clothing, right? Like, you get clothing, it's like, oh, really? Like, almost that doesn't count, correct? So I made a list of clothes that I really didn't like getting for Christmas, like getting gloves. Really? You have to get gloves for Christmas? Or scarves, right? Really? Or socks? But my all-time least favorite clothing item to get at Christmas were long johns, okay? Never liked getting long johns at Christmas. So when I was a child, I liked getting toys and fun stuff, but as I got older, as my children got older, we came to appreciate different stuff. Well, now there's technological toys and gifts and gadgets, right? And let's all be honest, adults, don't we like getting new what? Clothing. Don't raise your hand, you're wearing new clothing you got from Christmas today. Don't we like to show off our new outfit? We get to wear that stuff. Pretty cool. I get new clothing, a nice outfit to wear, stuff that looks really nice. We really enjoy being clothed with new clothes as we get older. Our taste in Christmas changes. He was a young man, and he was clothed from his father. He had an inheritance from his father. He was considered his father's son. And his immaturity said, "Dad, can I get my inheritance now? Can I get my birthright now?" And so his father gave him 1/3 the wealth of his inheritance. That's what he was to receive. And we know that sometimes young men don't make the wisest of all decisions. So he took that great wealth of money, and he went out, and he had a fun time. He went to Jersey City, he went to Vegas, and he had a good time. He had lots of friends, and he partied, he lived a good life. He was the hit of the town. Everybody loved him until his money what? Ran out. And as we know, when your money sometimes run out, and you have friends due to money, then you have no friends, right? And he found himself broke. He couldn't even go to McDonald's, so he ate a soup kitchen. He stayed at a homeless shelter, and his life was the pits. No career, no money. He was now dressed in old, worn-out, beat-up clothes and down and out. Homeless shelters, soup kitchens. It was as if he were eating with pigs. And he came to his senses and said, "You know, my dad has a business. Maybe I can go back and wear an apron and be a servant. Or maybe I can be like a truck driver and wear what the truck drivers wear and run routes for him," stuff like that. And so he swallowed his pride and he went back to dad to apologize for ruining his name and spending 1/3 of the inheritance. But instead, his father welcomed him and healed him, and then his father threw him a party. And that party had a great meal, and his father brought out robes for him to wear, brought out the nicest of garments for him to put on. And the older brother got upset and said, "This isn't fair. I've been working here the whole time when he's out ruining your name and partying in Vegas and blowing his money, and I didn't get anything." And his father said, "Well, I'm being gracious and merciful to him because I love you both." Now, you're familiar with the parable. What's the parable called? The prodigal son. In that parable, you and I are the son who goes away, who is dressed in our father's garment. We wear rags and tags, and once again in faith, robed with that righteousness. And the prodigal son, you and I are the prodigals who go out, who welcome back home with our father with new clothing. So I want to talk about clothing and being aired, okay? So in our baptism, for us repentant believers, St. Paul says that for all who are baptized have clothed themselves with who? Christ. So in my baptism, we are wearing robes of righteousness. We're a child of the Heavenly Father. We're wearing clothing as an heir of the King. We're clothed with really nice and wealthy garments. And so to be a child of God means that I'm robed in his righteousness and I have a place in his kingdom. I'm considered a child of God. Now, in Jewish culture, a child has minor rights as an heir, but no better than a servant. But an adult does. So in Jewish culture, when I become an adult, I'm part of the heir. I'm part of the inheritance of my family, but as a child is not. So I'm going to explain that a little bit more. I think that's what St. Paul says. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned as a child. So in Jewish culture, if I'm a child, I'm not yet considered an heir, and I don't have all the blessings of my family's inheritance. Now, as a kingdom of God, we do. So I want to talk to you about children. Children have limits and limitations if you work with children. When I was a teacher, I got a note from a parent said that my child's not feeling well. They can take 2 aspirins if they're not feeling well. I remember the child came up and said, "Can I take the aspirins now, Mr. Muse?" And I said, "Yes." And the child goes, "Well, if I take 2 aspirins, it'll make me feel better, but wouldn't 40 aspirins totally heal me, right?" Well, if 2 aspirins help, why wouldn't 40 aspirins just totally heal me? It doesn't work that way. I was once with some young children at a youth fundraising event. It was a community get-together, and it was a community festival, and they had a display with make-believe Native Americans and cowboys and settlers, like in the old days. And I told the child, well, I was with some children, said, "Let's go down there and check it out." And one child goes, "I'm not going there." I said, "Why not?" "Well, there's Indians down there, and they have bows and arrows." "No, they're not real. No, they're Indians down there. I'm not going down there. Don't make me go down there because they're just actors." "Oh, no, they're real." You know, you understand? Children have limits and limitations. I was reading once about a boy, and children asked about marriage. And they asked a boy by the name of Johnny. He says, "How can you tell when people are married?" And Johnny goes, "It's really easy how you can tell when people are married. They're yelling at the same children, right?" Okay? Children have limits, and children have limitations. So we're very cautious around children, right, in this day and age. We protect them because there's predators out there, and we realize that children are vulnerable, and that's what makes crimes against children so terrible. So children have limits, and they have limitations, what they can understand and what they do, and so we protect and love them. But it's sort of interesting that, according to our Lord, we are called to be childlike. You and I are called to have a childlike faith. We are not called to be what? Childish. There's a difference between being childlike and childish. Well, let me explain. Well, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." So Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Don't keep them away from me, because such is the kingdom of God." Why? Because children simply trust. Children are totally dependent on an adult. Jesus said this, "If anyone wants to enter the kingdom of God, they must enter it like a what?" A little child who simply believes, who trusts, who's totally dependent. So notice, we are called to be childlike, a childlike faith. Simply believe and trust. Then we also hear about childish. A loving father disciplines his child. If you have a temper tantrum in Kroger's in aisle 5, you're going to get disciplined, right? Okay? A loving father disciplines his child when he talks back to adults and sasses back to their teachers or refuses to do what they need to do. There's a difference between childlike and childish. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're what? Not part from it. So the Bible differentiates between being childlike and childish. You and I are called to be childlike. A childlike faith, dependent on God, trusting in God. We're not called to be childish. See, when I forsake the gospel that Jesus died for my sins and I buy immature notions, I become childish. I have a wrong view of the faith, and so I become childish. I have really odd notions about God because I reject that Jesus Christ died for me and the sins of the whole world. I have a very childish type of faith. And when I do, I sort of become a child. I'm not an heir. I'm not robed in righteousness. I wear tattered clothes. However, when the gospel is the best thing in my life, I'm now an heir. So let me ask you this. What's the best thing about St. John? Our pastors? Our school? Our sanctuary? What? The people? Hopefully we'd all say none of them. The gospel's the best thing, that Jesus Christ died for me, because without Jesus Christ dying for me, you and I are lost and condemned. Childlike faith sees the cross as the best thing in my life. Let me push that a little bit further. So childish hand-me-downs, worn out, sort of sees faith like this. It's rules and rituals. Church is a place where I go, we do certain rules and rituals, I'm not sure why, I just put up with it and I do it, then I know I've been at church. That's a very childish faith. Or I attend church out of false pretenses. What do you mean by that? Well, I'm here because other people make me be here. I'm here because if I'm not in church, somebody will look down on me. I'm here because I'm forced to be here for one reason or another. I'm here because if I don't come to church, it's going to be a lousy Christmas day at my home. It's going to be a silent Thanksgiving dinner if I'm not in church. I come to church out of false pretenses. I'm really not here to be blessed. I'm here for somebody or something else. Childish. I see the church as a club. I've been here my whole life. I know other people. Sort of my club, sort of a place to go. When I need something, I call the church. Besides that, just like sort of a membership, a place to maintain traditions. I'm just familiar with this. I'm not sure why I'm just familiar with doing this. Friday and Saturday, I went back home. My mother's in rehab in the hospital. And every time I go home, sometimes I drive around my old neighborhood and like my old schools, and I check things out. It's sort of a tradition just to see what it looks like. Not that I live there, not so much that I care about it, but it's just a place to maintain traditions. That's being having a very childish sort of faith. Or, I'm here to be happy. Entertain me. Entertain me now! Because that's what our society does. We entertain everybody. Entertain me, make me laugh, give me a good time, make me happy. Or, I listen to false teachers throughout the week, and then I come to church and I'm confused. This is all childish sort of faith. Not childlike, but childish. I'm wearing tattered and clothes, old clothes. Now I want to talk about childlike. When I come to God's house, being childlike, is I'm here because I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. Because from the time I left this sanctuary to the time I walked back in, you know what you and I usually do? We sin. This is a place I go to be forgiven. We go to be forgiven. The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum of saints. Somebody said, I refuse to go to that church. Why? Because it's filled with hypocrites. Well, you're absolutely right. Tell me a church that isn't filled with hypocrites. Go show me a person who isn't a hypocrite. We're all sinners. We're here as a hospital for us to be forgiven. My life is messy. I need help. My life is messy. Our lives are messy. I come here to be blessed. I'm here to mature, to get filled up. My hope and prayer is that any time you leave this house, you're a little bit more mature. You just didn't go through motions. I'm a little bit mature, more mature. I'm a little bit wiser for the wear. My faith grew. I'm here to edify and build others up. Have you asked anybody else how they were doing, how their day's going, how their family doing? Do you encourage anybody? Pray for them? Lift them up? So I'm here for. My family is here. Well, not my biological family. My biological family lives all over the place. But my faith family's here. So I come to visit my what? Faith family. My faith family are also those I see in heaven. This is childlike faith. And finally, our faith is greater than our differences. Someone says, I refuse to go to that church anymore. A couple of people hurt me. Well, I'm very sorry. But you know what? Our faith is greater than that. The faith and hope we have in the cross is greater than any hurt. This is all part of having a childlike faith, robed in Christ's righteousness, an heir of his, the gospel, Jesus Christ who died for me. Now, read this verse with me in that light. What love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called who? Children of God, a child of God. An heir of his righteousness, a childlike faith. I treasure the cross. I love the Lord's Supper. I'm forgiven. I remember that I'm baptized and clothed with Christ's righteousness. Correct? Sort of unique. Christ wore a robe of humility. What do the Roman soldiers do? Well, they put purple on him. They put a purple robe on him, and they put on him a crown of what? They dressed him up to mock him. To mock him. We're going to make you look like a king. But in faith, the parable says, you and I, we have the proper garments for the wedding feast. That robe of righteousness, we can enter into the eternal wedding feast. Those who aren't properly dressed without the proper garments are tossed out into the darkness. In Christ we have that. As our exalted Savior, this is what Revelation says about Jesus. He is robed down to his feet with a sash around his chest. Jesus Christ, exalted God. He himself is robed in glory. Here's a picture of heaven. In heaven, we're robed in white in a great, uncountable, great multitude. Notice we're robed in his righteousness in heaven, that righteousness, a child of God. And finally, in our lives, what does St. Paul say for us? Therefore, as God's chosen people, heirs of righteousness, children of God, I treasure the cross, clothe yourselves. Notice what he says? Clothe yourselves, wear this, put this on what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other as the Lord forgave you. Put on the virtue of love that binds them together. Even after there's some bad calls and the team doesn't win, and I didn't really get what I wanted for Christmas, and someone's nagging me and the boss is still a pain, right? Clothe yourselves. This is what Christ shining through me. You know, compassion, kindness, humility. Let somebody else go in front of you in line. The crying kid, the mom with the cart, let her go in front of you. Somebody cuts you off, smile. Clothe yourselves as God's people, as heirs of righteousness. Put on love, what Jesus has done for us. You know, there's an example. You think of examples in your life, what God has put in front of you to be clothed in what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and forgiving. Whereas God puts you where you can maybe help someone else out, showing yourself being robed as Christ's righteousness, forgiven, redeemed in Christ. So how about this for a closing thought? What does Isaiah say? I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has what? Clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a what? A robe of righteousness. Heirs of salvation, children of God, clothed in his goodness. And all God's people say, amen.